Welcome to Safety School, where we crunch down health, safety and environment learning into simple bite-sized snippets that you can use for your business or your career, helping you improve your knowledge, boost your performance and maybe even providing some inspiration. Let's get started. Before we crack on with the podcast today, I wanted to let you know about a new partnership that we've set up with the team at Safety Apps. And of course, we've agreed an exclusive offer for Safety School listeners, which I want to tell you a bit about as well. But let's talk a bit more about what the team does and the product they have that I think might help you. I've been doing a bit of work myself alongside James and the team at Safety Apps to further develop their health and safety software. And it's a great solution that the guys have built over there. It's really just focused on helping businesses that want an easy, cost-effective way to manage their information around risk assessments, method statements, safety audits. And also now they're adding, or have already added, a module around incident and accident reporting as well. So it continues to get better and better. The good thing is you can try a watermarked version of it. If this is something you think might be useful for your business, you can try the watermarked version of it for free, of course, to see if it works for you and see if it's worth spending the money on a subscription, which the subscription in itself is actually really good value as well. But yes, if you need a simple health and safety software solution that isn't overly expensive but does what it says and really just keeps things, you know, basic for you and for your needs, I recommend you try the Risk Assessor app out. If you want to give it a whirl, make sure to use the link on the podcast page. Usually you save 20% on an online subscription as opposed to getting it through the App Store, but we've agreed an additional 10% on top of that, so it's a 30% reduction in the price if you were to try it out and you feel like it meets your needs and you want to continue using it. So if you need a piece of software to make it easier to manage and amend your documentation when it comes to health and safety, then you can check the Risk Assessor app out for free via our link on the podcast page, and we'll look forward to hearing your feedback on it. Following up on our previous podcast looking at how to do a cost assessment and everything that entailed walking through that process, identifying what was hazardous in your workplace and then going about managing it, we just wanted to roll through five of our top tips to help you make sure that you're minimizing the amount of risk from those hazardous substances. Okay, so the first one is looking at that old chestnut, the safety data sheets and MSDSs, if it's materials. So that is something that you can't gloss over and you can't forget about, because that's where really the guts of our information on the product is going to come from. Once again, if you haven't got that safety data sheet and the relevant information, make sure you get it. Get in contact with a manufacturer or look up the specific product online, and it should be available there publicly for you to look at. And once you have that data, then as long as you're comfortable looking at it yourself and interpreting it, then that's fine. Although it can be quite technical, so if you need help, you know, do ask for it and ensure that you're getting somebody to interpret it with you who understands all of the information within the documentation that you have. A side note on that one as well is just to make sure that you get someone who understands the process where the product is currently used and how it's used, because often you'll find that the SDSs or MSDSs will give you the information in the worst case scenario, or if the product is being, as if the product was being used in a really intensive way. And sometimes some of the measures that they're recommending can be overkill for your application. So do bear that in mind, and you will need someone, you know, with the right competence to make a decision if you're going to reduce any of the recommendations around things like protective equipment and so on. So just something to think about there. The second important thing here is to make sure that you store the materials securely, and also as part of that, you may want to restrict the use of the materials to those who either use them directly in a process or help you with the management of the chemicals or substances. This obviously stops them from getting into the hands of people who maybe aren't aware of the potential risks that are associated with them, and maybe you haven't had the opportunity or don't have the resources to train or inform them on the hazards that are there. So it's best just to manage that risk away by not allowing them to access it. Obviously you can make them aware at on a simple level that there are hazardous materials in certain areas, but if you store it correctly and secure them, then that shouldn't be an issue. The third one then, and this is quite an important one that's often overlooked, is to separate incompatible chemicals. So what do we mean when we say that? Well, sometimes when you mix certain chemicals, there's a certain reaction or a harm to health is created that otherwise isn't known about. Also as well, there are risks of fire and, you know, explosive reactions and so on. And that's something that isn't often given enough priority, and it's part of the reason why cost assessments are done and can be very useful, because it gives us the opportunity to take a step back and look at how things are used collectively and also what way you store them, going back to our previous point. It gives you a chance to look at all the hazardous substances across your entire project or site, and then look to see if there's any issues on your MSDSs or SDSs, if there are any types of materials that the product shouldn't be stored alongside. So again, that's information that is in the detail of the safety data sheets, and you'll want to make sure that you get that information out and then apply it. Most of us have probably been in chemistry class back in the day, where we've performed a reaction mixing two chemicals that obviously will turn into a vapor or create even a flame when they react. So most of us should be aware of this actually existing. Some of the examples that are used commonly would be the likes of mixing a bleach product, which is often obviously used for cleaning, with ammonias or acids. And the combination of those two types of chemicals or materials can produce chlorine gas, which of course is extremely harmful in small doses. It can be an irritant, has been used as a weapon in the past, of course, but also as well as that, if it's in a large dose or in a contained area, it can actually be fatal as well. So it's really important that we check the compatibility of all the materials that we're storing. And that leads us on to our next point here around the storage of the materials as well, which is relating to providing ventilation and keeping the chemicals or materials away from the exposure to sun, heat, and sources of ignition. Obvious reasons for that would be, you know, the risk of a fire. Excess heat as well may make some chemicals more volatile, so you're going to want to avoid as well. So controlling that heat level in some way is very beneficial. Maintaining airflow or ventilation, again, is really important because it reduces the risks of any gases or vapors from the chemicals being able to accumulate in the space where they're being stored. Well, why is that an issue? Well, if we think about the buildup of gases or vapors, as I mentioned already, around fire risk and the chances of explosion, if there's a vapor buildup, of course, if there was a source of ignition, there would be a much higher chance that an explosion may occur, which of course we want to avoid. And further to that, the gases and the vapors themselves being able to accumulate, of course, presents a risk just to people in general, on two levels. Basically, whenever you walk into an area where there is a build-up, if you're inhaling that, then if there are chemicals that are an irritant from respiratory point of view, or if they're toxic and the person is inhaling, essentially consuming those, then that in itself can be extremely harmful, of course. But also, if you do have a gas buildup, you will have a depletion of oxygen naturally occurring as a result of that. And that in itself, of course, can be very risky for anyone to be working or going into that area. In certain cases, you might want to bring in some oxygen monitoring, which I've done in the past in certain circumstances, or gas detection for the specific chemicals that you're holding within your storage area. Last but not least then, number five, and something that really gets on my goat whenever I go to do audits and things and look around to see how chemicals are stored. I know a lot of health and safety folks out there, if they're listening or sharing this podcast, will certainly agree with me in this one, but that is just to make sure that chemicals, whatever way they're contained or stored or packaged, that making sure they're well labeled. And although this might seem like an obvious one, it's really easy for materials to be decanted or transferred to different containers and used in different, you know, ways across a workplace. And the issue that this presents is, well, firstly, the risk to people if you haven't labeled something is that they could confuse a hazardous material for something that's harmless and put themselves or others at risk, which is what we're trying to avoid in the first place. But also further to that then, when it comes to the environmental aspect of it, you need to be able to identify properly the material so that it can be safely and compliantly disposed from your waste provider or whoever it is that's taking your hazardous substances away for you. You have to aim for simplicity here, so I would recommend that you use something like a pre-printed cost label, which you can purchase fairly easily, and that allows you to fill in the simple information similar to what you would find normally on, you know, the original label or container of the product packaging itself, which is really what you should be aiming for, just to get the simple messages and information across to users, so it's easy for them to tell how hazardous the substance is, both to themselves and others, but also to the environment as well. That's it for this episode of Safety School. We hope this was helpful. If so, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And remember, for more health, safety, and environment help, you can visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care.